said the train is coming, baby. I said the train is coming now. I said the train is coming, baby. I said the train is coming now.
So long I've been waiting, waiting for you. Oh yeah. Now the time has come when it's between me and you. The train is coming, baby. I said the train is coming now, 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 now. I said the train is coming, baby. And I am leaving on that train, Lord.
I said the train is coming, baby. I said the train is coming now. I said the train is coming, baby. I said the train is coming now.
Every day I pray for this little hour. Now the time has come, and I want you to stand by me. Because the train is coming, baby, and we are leaving on the train. And we will roam this land, where we all will be free, Lord.
I said the train is coming, baby. I said the train is coming now. I said the train is coming, baby. I said the train is coming now.
children of the Israelite.
Makes the world go round, so people listen carefully.
Don't you cut off your dreadlocks. Samson was a dreadlock, so Delilah betrayed.
Go, Rasta, 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 Rasta.
In my neighborhood. winds they fall. Bang, 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 bang.
तो बजाओ। आज रात का मैं आखिरी गाना गा रहा हूं और गाने में यह कहना चाहता हूं कि दुनिया में खुश रहना हो तो मानो मेरी बात। आओ ट्विट करें कपूता अपोसम ले आओ ट्विट करें जिंदगी है यही। आओ ट्विट करें कपूता अपोसम ना जुटी है जिंदगानी की ओ मेरी जान।
ना जुटी है जिंदगानी ओ मेरी जान।
चम 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 हाए हाँ हाँ। आओ 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 ट्विट करे मौसम में। आओ ट्विट करे जिंदगी है यही।
Got it. You are listening to radio station WBAI. It's 99.5 FM here in New York. WBAI.org. Everywhere, all over the place. Time is just about 7 o'clock, and it is time for another exciting edition of Off the Hook.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving, now I can't make a call. We couldn't get much worse, but if they could, they would. Oh, Billy Bob, for the best, expect the worst. I hope that's understood. Oh, Billy Bob!
A very good evening to all of you. Program is Off the Hook. Rob T. Firefly here with you, and we are back after a week off the air, and I am here joined today by Gila.
Good evening.
Let's try that again. Hi, Gila.
Hi. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you a little better now. We'll keep working on that. And okay. Out in Signal Land, we have got Alex.
Yes, you do. I'm here.
All right. Now we're stabilizing some levels and putting some stuff out there onto the airwaves. We were not on last week. We had planned to be on, but those plans changed, and
it's my fault. I own it.
It's completely.
It is 100% my fault.
Utterly your fault, and I'm going to let you take the lead on telling the story, Gila, because I was there, but it is primarily your story.
So, the reason that we were not on air last week is because Emmanuel and Kyle are away on assignment, and when Emmanuel and Kyle are away on assignment, their studio is not where the show can happen. So the show was set to run from our house, and yeah. We're excited to announce that there does not appear to be a thunderstorm in the offing tonight, as there was the last time we ran the show from here, so
indeed.
Everybody get excited about that. So yeah, we were all set to go ahead and do that from here, and then Monday night into Tuesday, I was in horrible, horrible, horrible pain, and I couldn't sleep, and I was throwing up, and it was bad. And we set off for the emergency room on Tuesday afternoon. I was admitted to the hospital around 1 a.m., I want to say, and I got up to a room about 9 a.m., and they said, you're having emergency surgery at some point soon. You know, tell your gallbladder it's been fun. And that is what happened. I wound up having surgery first thing on Thursday morning. And I have been recuperating since.
And obviously, we have to thank our pals at the station, Reggie, management, everyone for being on point and filling in with something when we, at the last moment, couldn't produce a show. And, yeah, I mean, listeners to this program, regular listeners, will know that we are pretty much the backup base when Emmanuel and Kyle can't run things from their pile of technology. So, yeah, we're doing our best, and the hospital visit itself, because I was there, I stayed with you.
You're very good, yes.
And the visit itself was very interesting from the standpoint of somebody who talks about the sorts of things we talk about on this program.
Yeah. I mean, let's just begin with the fact that obviously when you're in the hospital, when you're in the emergency department, when you're there and are waiting and they're just throwing things at you to see what they can fix and what will get better, they obviously want to check that they're giving treatments and medication to the right person, so you keep getting asked your name and your date of birth a lot. I would like to take this moment to encourage everyone who finds themselves in the emergency room system and has their wits about them enough to be stating their name and date of birth, to please use your inside voice when you're stating your PII all over the place. There was a woman who was in a station across the hallway, room? I'm not even quite sure how to describe it.
Mm-hmm.
The little Warren of stations.
Right.
Who just kept shouting her name and her birth date. So
kind of like a Pokemon, just shouting their own name over and over.
Yeah. Or like DJ Khaled.
Right.
Linda, if you're listening, I hope your birthday in April is great. You're going to be 67. And again, just y'all.
Yeah.
If you can keep your wits about you, maybe don't shout.
Okay. And in addition to that, so there were other folks having, being attended to, mm-hmm. You got attended to, brought from the emergency room to a proper room and everything. And as people who have been hospitalized, will know, you sometimes get neighbors. And we had some neighbors in your room.
We did.
And, you know, we were talking to your doctors about everything that needed to be done, and everything was fairly straightforward, and, you know, they took, I think, good care of you. The folks across the room from us were arguing with their doctor, of the person who was being seen to, because whenever their doctor told them something about what they needed to do to, you know, keep up their treatment, to prepare themselves to do this, to do that, they had a refrain that they kept coming back with and arguing with this doctor. And Gila, what was that refrain?
Well, ChatGPT said something else. I asked ChatGPT and ChatGPT said something else. So, first of all, a reminder that medical professionals are, in fact, medical professionals with years of training. And they know what's up, and you don't need to ask ChatGPT everything. I did hear one of their doctors give maybe the best response I've ever heard,
mm-hmm.
which was ChatGPT scans everything on the internet and doesn't differentiate between what makes sense and what doesn't make sense. So it's important to not listen to them.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that was the most polite response I could have thought of anyone giving in that moment.
It was very well put. And, you know, even before the current wave of AI hype, it was a thing for people to consult Dr. Google,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, whatever search engine you have, and just use that to diagnose yourself, to, you know, make your own medical decisions. And at the end of the day, if you have a trained professional in front of you telling you something is so, and in order to continue your existence on this planet of ours, you need to do certain things, maybe don't come back with what ChatGPT said.
Right, but these are also the people who we heard. And again, I would also like to mention that if you're visiting someone in the hospital, your indoor voice is a really good tool.
Boisterous family, they were.
Boisterous family. Nothing has made me so fearful for the future as the patient's son very proudly telling his mother, "Well, I get all my news from ChatGPT and libertarian podcasts." And
yeah.
It was a positive way to keep distracted.
Mm-hmm.
To not think about whatever else was going on. I appreciated it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, indoor voices are good.
Indoor voices are good. And the information given you by trained experts in their field trumps. Somebody recently, and I saw this, I think, from multiple posters over the past couple of weeks, posted something to the effect of, whenever somebody's statement to me begins, "I asked ChatGPT, I know I'm about to hear some dumbass crap."
Yeah.
But, you know, when life or death is involved, maybe use a little more discretion. Alex, how are you doing out there? You seem to be located locally this week.
I am. I'm in New York. I'm just being bedazzled by the story of Gila and this hospital experience over here and remaining somewhat quiet. But I tend to agree with you, though, Rob. And I have found, too, that in my experience as being a lawyer and negotiating with people, you know, ChatGPT is just used by counterparties all the time. It might be ChatGPT, it might be, you know, some other LLM, but I often feel like I'm always
just negotiating with a large language model or some kind of generative AI at this point. And it makes people think that they know better than they do. So it is a little bit terrifying to see this being used in a hospital environment. Thankfully, and knock on wood here, I haven't been in a hospital since the advent of, you know, massive large language models have come into play. But crazy. What an experience. We're really glad that you're back and seemingly okay, Gila.
Thank you.
How is everything now?
Things are good. I mean, the fascinating thing about the gallbladder is that it is useless. And when, you know, when you're healing from so many surgeries, it's about your body learning to do something differently or work without something that used to be there. And in this case, it's just closing up a hole. It doesn't, my body doesn't need to learn how to do anything new, because the gallbladder is still so vestigial and dumb. And I'm getting to the point where I'm bored, which is bad because then I push too hard and then I'm exhausted. But this is amazing to me. This whole process was a week ago, a week ago I hadn't even had surgery yet. And that is just bewildering to me. You know, I am lucky in so many ways that things turned out the way that they did. Not least that there is an emergency room literally two blocks from our apartment that we were able to get to on foot and pretty quickly.
Yeah. And talking of this whole experience, so, you know, you're here, you're convalescing, not at all through the efforts of large language models. But, yeah, you're doing well. I can confirm for the folks out there, as someone who's in the room with you, you're doing extraordinarily well. And just keep taking care of yourself. And this whole ChatGPT thing does connect with a bunch of stuff that's been in the news the past couple of weeks. I wanted to talk about this one story. We didn't get to it last week because we weren't around. This is from the 5th of December, a BBC news story that trains were canceled because somebody had started circulating generative AI images of the bridge collapsing that this train was going to go over. It was there was a tremor, and there was a tremor which struck on Wednesday night, Wednesday night of the week of the 5th, that would have been the 3rd, felt across Lancashire in the Southern Lake District, and this image started being circulated of the bridge collapsed, and of course, in reality, it was fine, but the realism of this image was enough for them to start canceling trains and, you know, all that sort of thing. And yeah, that I found this story a little interesting just as an example of the power of this sort of thing. Now we are officially at a point where generative AI video can look convincing, at least to an untrained eye.
But the idea that the BBC then ran the video through AI to determine where the AI was.
Yes.
That may be my favorite piece of this little story.
Yeah, the story on BBC.com does say a BBC journalist ran the image through an AI chatbot, which identified key spots that may have been manipulated. This is, of course, a stupid thing to do because it means nothing.
Right. But again, I think the tendency to want to hand so much of automation over to AI. There was another story that came up about that weapons recognition system has caught two kids with chip bags.
Yeah, I think one kid had a chip bag and another kid had a clarinet.
The most recent one was a clarinet. And apparently the child was holding a clarinet like a gun. So the official word from school leadership is, well, this is working exactly the way it's supposed to. And you shouldn't hold your clarinet like a gun because the system is going to... I don't know, man. When you were a little kid, did you ever not hold anything like a gun?
Oh, yeah.
Everything was a gun.
Everything was... Absolutely everything on the playground was a gun. Pew-pew lasers or, you know, boom-boom incendiary weapons. But, yeah. And clarinets are commonly found around schools. I think just as common as chip bags, maybe.
Yeah.
So maybe the technology needs to continue to be refined. And of course, this brings into sharp relief the danger of trusting these things too much, especially if you're an understaffed authority figure who just wants to somehow throw a switch and believe things are taken care of that aren't.
Do we think the person who created the image, or who prompted the image, I guess more to the point, is proud?
Maybe. There are always going to be trolls, aren't there? And trolls and bridges are a natural match.
Oh, you did that.
Oh, yes. Alex, yes.
Well, I think this brings up an interesting topic, because we certainly have gotten past the point now where people have started to distrust quite literally everything that they see on social media, because you're not sure whether or not something is authentic or it's AI generated. Mm-hmm. Any reel that looks unreal or is somewhat unbelievable on Instagram or on Facebook, if you look at the comments on this, people claiming it's AI, other people claiming it's real, there's genuine confusion out there about what is authentic and what is inauthentic. Mm-hmm. And it brings to mind the need to have some kind of clarity about this, you know, either from a platform, but it becomes difficult to detect, I think, real artifacts of whether or not something is going to be an AI-generated image or a legitimate image. It brings to mind the work of somebody by the name of Hani Farid, and I used to work with Hani at Dartmouth a long time ago. My God, I can't believe it was about 20 years ago now, at a federally funded think tank called the Institute for Security Technology Studies. I think it's called the Institute for Security Technology and Society now. But Hani Farid was a computer science professor at Dartmouth, and he got into this field of detecting altered images by trying to detect images that had embedded steganographic encryption. So if you remember, shortly after 9/11, there was a lot of panic. About the potential for terrorists to post a picture of a couch or something for sale on Facebook and have in that couch image a hidden message that, mm-hmm. you know, related to where, you know, some plot should begin, or, you know, a message like the skeletons dance at midnight on some crappy couch that's for sale on Craigslist or something like that, right? So Hani Farid started to figure out ways to detect whether or not certain pixels were altered at very low levels. And he's now left Dartmouth and teaches at UC Berkeley, but he's a real pioneer on digital image forensics. And what he's done is, his work, to my mind, is all about really low-level pixel analysis and looking at physical and geometric consistency and to determine whether or not an image has been AI-generated by looking at, you know, what the real geometry should be and what it actually is. And he's built systems that do this really, really well. And it seems to me like this type of thing needs to be implemented on all of the platforms out there to determine whether or not something, you know, has the hallmarks or the indications, indicia of it being AI generated or not. Because we are way past this point of believability when it comes to images. And it's becoming a real problem. And if we're to trust anything in the future, we need to know what's authentic and what's inauthentic.
And actually, can I roll back for a second? Because talking about images, I do have a bit more detail.
Yeah.
The reason I had to have my gallbladder out was because I had gallstones. And right before I went into surgery, I said to the surgeon very politely, would it be possible to get a picture, if you remember? I'm curious. I'd like to see what's going on. And she said, I'll do it if I remember. And I said, okay, cool. And then I had surgery. And later I was in my room, and the surgeon came by to check in, and she said, I remembered to take a picture. That was really something. And I said, what do you mean? And she said, you had one gigantic gallstone. She had put a pen with like a little ruler on it next to said gallstone. How big was it?
For the photo, yeah, it was 4 centimeters long. About 2.7 centimeters wide, egg-shaped, as these things are.
Enormous. Yeah. And and she airdropped this photo to me from her phone to my phone. Mm-hmm. And for a moment, I was like, this can't be real. Not that I had any sense of what it was supposed to look like. Not that I had any sense of how many gallstones I had or where they were supposed to be. But I have spent a not insignificant amount of time over the last week trying to kind of reverse image search and make sure that this is really what was there. It is terrifyingly enormous, I must say.
It's an achievement on the surgeon's part and on your part.
I'm very proud of myself for accomplishing that. Well done. Well crafted. Years of work, apparently.
I always respect your creative forces and outputs. So I wanted to talk about some more related stuff. We were talking about AI and also, you know, the general media environment, because I think in all our lifetimes, those of us on this program, probably everyone listening to it, photos have been something that, you know, if someone hands you a paper photo and says, this is proof of something, it's been common knowledge that, well, you can fake photos, you can alter photos. And this used to be something very complex and very difficult to do unless you had certain talents and equipment and stuff. But over the years, it got easier and easier and easier. So if somebody handed you a photo, maybe it's Photoshop, maybe it's real, but you would never assume that it was the entire truth. But video was more dependable because video contains many images, and it's so much more difficult to edit video than it is to edit an image. You know, anybody can Photoshop something, but video was more of a solid thing, and we are now past that point. Video is not proof of anything. Video is easily fakeable. So, yeah, we all have to be sort of on our guard with stuff that we didn't even 5-6 years ago on levels, because anybody can use these tools and anybody can generate this stuff. So, yeah, be wary out there. Consider your sources and use your judgment. Another story going around this week involving AI. Microsoft Copilot is an AI assistant, as these things go.
I uninstalled it from my laptop this afternoon.
Nicely done. And you could do that because your laptop is something that you have a reasonable amount of control over. Mm-hmm. If you were the owner of a fancy LG smart television, you may find yourself with that problem but unable to address it, because LG smart TV owners are reporting that a recent webOS software update has added Microsoft Copilot to their TVs with no apparent way to remove it. This story from Tom's Hardware. Reports first surfaced over the weekend on Reddit, where a post showed a Copilot tile pinned to an LG TV home screen. And apparently this is now installed on people's televisions. It cannot be removed. It can't be uninstalled, not through any way that people have found so far. And a lot of people are angry about it. There are so many stories going around of smart devices like being subverted, being used to spy on people, and here is something that gets stuck on your very expensive device without your permission.
Mm-hmm. And apparently the only way you can disable Copilot right now is to disconnect your TV from the internet, which, given the state of the way that so much of entertainment works right now, means you can't do anything else either.
Yeah,
so then you turn on the fireplace and go.
Yeah. Or just set the TV on fire. Maybe that'll
also
entertain as well.
Yes.
But yeah, if you're running apps on your television, those need internet access for, you know, your streaming services or whatever else, your digital fish tank, whatever you got going on. And the whole smart TV scene has always been kind of a dangerous place, full of dodgy apps and things. But this is above and beyond. And I don't know, Alex. You're a TV watcher yourself at times. Like, how would you feel if you had something like this added to your television and you couldn't get rid of it?
Oh, I mean, wouldn't it be great? Because doesn't AI just make our lives so much easier? I mean, how could you not want an AI system tracking all of your watching habits and maybe offering you suggestions? I mean, I know how much you love Friends over there, and so, you know, it could also offer you suggestions for, you know, other related episodes of Friends, or I'm joking, of course. Rob is not a enthusiast over there. I mean, I and I'm being sarcastic. I think the whole thing is deplorable. I think it raises a lot of issues about how and why this is being done. I mean, putting these
tiles into somebody else's television, some product that you own. I don't understand why companies continue to do stupid things like this, because it's just going to make users angry. It's going to make people angry. Nobody, I don't know, maybe some people will be thankful for it in much the same way that I was tongue-in-cheek being